Chapter 4. Lady Winterfell had opened the entire ballroom for Sansa's coming out ball, but a scant hour into the evening, the crush was still enough to make a sweat break out on Brienne's skin. Sighing, she mopped at her brow with a lace handkerchief categorically not meant for any actual use. It matched her gown, a demure pale pink, perfect for a debutante ball that still made Brienne feel no less like a lumbering bull amongst dainty little flowers. The crowd swirled around her, a flurry of brightly colored muslin and silk. Earlier, she'd attempted to squirrel herself away into a corner, but the press meant that she had not been relatively alone for more than a few minutes before people drifted close enough that it would have been rude for her to remain and not take part in their conversation. Given that the group in question had been orbiting around Jaime Lannister, Brienne chose to abscond, cutting a path through the crowd until she could no longer hear the tinkling of laughter in response to each quip he let fly. Normally, Brienne would have attached herself to Lady Winterfell for as long as she could, but the Dowager was still standing at the receiving line with Sansa, smiling placidly as she greeted each guest. The one consolation was that they wouldn't begin the dancing until Sansa could join the festivities. The height of Brienne's discomfort was thus postponed. The guest of honor was resplendent in an appropriately pristine white gown trimmed with lace. Her hair was a pile of glossy auburn curls embellished with a highly fashionable feather. Sansa's Abigail had outdone herself once again, making Brienne feel pity for her own lady's maid. The woman had long ago given up on encouraging Brienne's recalcitrant hair into anything but a simple chignon. Brienne moved in their direction, primarily for lack of anywhere else to go, but froze in her tracks a few yards off. She barely felt the people bumping into her as she watched the next guests in line. No matter how many times she experienced it, whether up close or at a distance, Renly Baratheon's smile never ceased to stop Brienne's heart. She wondered often if it was like staring into the sun, brightness leading to eventual pain, eventually giving way to the relief of blindness. It had not proven so yet, and instead Brienne suffered with the ache it caused. His coat was a blue so dark it was nearly black as his hair, and the complexity of his cravat's fall was outmatched only by the intricate confection of rose-hued linen adorning the neck of Lord Loras Tyrell. The younger man stood to Renly's left side, while his sister, Renly's wife, Marjorie, held her husband's right arm. The siblings had matching sandy brown hair and delicately hewn features with the kind of beauty that drew stares. The three stayed there, speaking for quite a while with Lady Winterfell and Sansa, Loras paying particular attention to the latter, before the line forced them to proceed inside. Sansa drifted after them mere minutes later, and Brienne watched, indecisive, as the girl enthralled them with her easy grace. The music started up soon after. Lady Winterfell had signaled the musicians upon Sansa's abandoning the receiving line. Without hesitation or regard for her already full dance card, Lord Loras led Sansa out onto the floor for the first set. Sansa doubtless acquitted herself spectacularly, but Brienne was not watching her. Instead, she stared at Renly and his wife as they joined the other couples, whispering to each other and throwing glances at Loras and Sansa when the dance brought them together. She stared until she could stand it no longer, then finally looked away. When Brienne looked out onto the floor after the first set had wound down, Renly and the Tyrells had not returned Sansa to her mother. They had, however, spotted Brienne. An encouraging nod of Sansa's head made the decision for Brienne, who could not possibly ignore it. Her curtsy as she joined them was no clumsier than usual, and Renly smile didn't dim as he looked at her. It never did. It was one of the reasons why she... well... "Miss Tarth," he said warmly. "It's been too long." I didn't know you were in town, Lord Renly," Brienne replied, staring at the pin in his cravat, the starched points of his shirt collar, the sheen of his watch fob. Anything rather than risk being caught again by his face. "We've been staying with my brother-in-law," he said, clapping Loras companionably on the arm. Marjorie smiled indulgently at them, before turning to address Brienne with the same warm politeness that she always did. We thought to open up Baratheon House at first, but... She trailed off meaningfully. At Brienne's look of confusion, Renly stepped in. Things are a bit up in the air after Robert, may he rest in peace, he said. Thought it better not to deal with it. I hope nothing's too terribly wrong, Sansa said, brow creasing with concern. Brienne wondered how much was Sansa's natural empathy, and how much was the fact that Lord Loras's attention had not made her entirely forget the errant Duke. You'd have to ask my brother Stannis about that, Renly said jovially. But come now, this is no topic for a happy occasion. The music started again. And indeed it had. Over the dull roar of the crowd, Brienne could hear the first strains of a reel. Miss Tarth? Renly asked and offered his arm. There was nothing but to take it. Renly led her out onto the floor just ahead of Loras, who was claiming a delighted Sansa yet again. For all the world as if Brienne was any other debutante, and not who and what she was. She took her place in the line of ladies, and Renly's pleasant gaze was almost enough to make her forget how she towered over all present. Brienne was not an entirely graceless dancer, and the energetic reel was forgiving. She even got a few remarks in when the dance brought them close together, but Renly chuckled when she asked if she might see him at Dane's any time soon. The dance ended far too quickly, but Brienne asked to be deposited near the refreshments rather than back with the others. There had been no major errors on her part, no embarrassments, but that could only hold for so long while Renly was smiling at her in that way, while he was close enough to touch. It was best to quit while she was ahead. Renly swept a bow before turning and heading back towards his wife. Brienne cradled a glass of lemonade in her hands, untouched, as she watched him walk away. Now there's a hopeless infatuation if there ever was one, said a too amused voice from behind her. Flushing, Brienne turned to see Jaime Lannister, leaning against the doorway to the nearby veranda. Embarrassment was replaced immediately by rage. My lord, if you were implying that I would ever harbor designs on a married man. He laughed, a rich low sound. No, I assure you I was implying nothing of the sort. Then, Lord Westland, I thank you to keep your baseless observations to yourself. She gave him her back, not caring how rude it was, and sipped at her lemonade. It tasted of ashes on her tongue. Was she really so obvious? Did everyone know how she felt about Renly? Was it another thing they all laughed about behind her back? Colonel Lannister, he corrected, ignoring her obvious dismissal. You've been avoiding me all night. If I have been, Brienne replied, facing him again. You haven't taken the hint. She thought of him earlier that evening, surrounded by sycophants and admirers, holding court as easy as anything. Rude and ungentlemanly as he was, he could still fit in without effort. Neither did you seem particularly bereft of company. In the moonlight, spilling in past the glass doors, his eyes glittered like gemstones. I like you better. This time, it was not anger or embarrassment that drove her blush. Lord Westland, she said, attempting indignation but falling far short. There was no force to it, her voice waxing and waning through the syllables. Colonel Lannister, he insisted again. It is your preeminent title, Brienne snapped. Must you really plague me even as regards simple matters of etiquette? Tell me, Miss Tarth, if you had a choice between a title handed to you like a party favor and one you actually earned, which would you prefer to use? So repugnant did Brienne find the idea of actually being in agreement with him that she was struck silent for a moment, after which she determined to ignore that rather distressing hiccup. Why are you even speaking with me, Colonel Lannister? She asked. I've told you. Given the choices, yours is the company I prefer, he said. You don't even pretend not to hate me. It's refreshing, though I've hardly given you any reason. Less taken aback by this second inexplicable declaration of preference for her, Brienne snorted in a decidedly unladylike manner. Lannister's teeth were white against the night. No reason, Is that really what you think?
No reason, I think.
He confirmed. What have I ever done to you to earn that ire? But as she opened her mouth, he raised one hand. Acknowledging, of course, as regards matters of late-night spying, that peering into bedroom windows went both ways. Undaunted, Brienne lowered her voice as she stepped forward to join him in the doorway so that they might not be overheard. She couldn't imagine what anyone who saw them would think that the likes of she and Lord Westland had to tete-a-tete about. Your sins are numerous and well known, my lord. I have no interest in recounting them for you.
My sins? He laughed. Tell me, Miss Tarth, do you believe every rumor you hear, or is it only the ones about me?
I don't base my opinions on rumors, she protested fiercely.
Too fiercely. You do spend a great deal of time with Catelyn Stark.
He crossed his arms loosely over his chest. His posture, the flippancy in his voice, belying the hardness in his eyes. I'm sure she's regaled you with all kinds of tales. And, of course, no one can ever compare to the example of her sainted dead husband. Brienne's fists clenched with the acute desire to strike him, not least because he was correct about the stories the Dowager told of Lord Winterfell. Not that they were left unsubstantiated by the whole of society. Lady Winterfell is a good, honest, honorable Christian woman, which is far more than I can say for the likes of you. The insult did not seem to faze him.
Of that I have no doubt. But Ned Stark, the very embodiment of honor and gentlemanliness, I'm sure you've been told.
He did not wait for her to confirm or deny it.
So honorable and gentlemanly, he spent his life playing errand boy for useless sots like Robert Baratheon. Real venom crept into his voice there, foreign and nearly frightening. So honorable and gentlemanly, he abandoned his wife for nearly a year to chase his sister and Rhaegar Targaryen across the sea at Robert's command. So honorable and gentlemanly, he raised his byblow in his home with his legitimate children. So honorable and gentlemanly, he likely broke your beloved Lady Winterfell's heart doing it. A true paragon indeed. Forgive me if I don't live and die by his ever-loving widow's evaluation of my worth as a gentleman.
Brienne's breath was coming hard, and her nails would likely leave tiny half-moons imprinted on her palms. Whatever his failings, they are not Lady Winterfell's. But your failings, they are all your own. She turned from him again.
Good evening, my lord.
She took one striding step before he reached out and clasped her hand. Even through her glove, against her will, her skin tingled, her blood rushing.
Wait, he said simply.
Out in the ballroom, a line of couples was marching through the last few figures of a dance. Brienne stood and watched them as Jaime Lannister held her hand and, with that simple action, held her irrevocably in place. The couples filed from the floor before the musician started up again, and Lannister made a small sound of pleasure in his throat.
Just as I thought, a waltz.
He headed towards the floor, tugging Brienne along with him.
Come, sweetling, I believe this is my dance.
Brienne stood glaring at him when they reached the center of the room and tensed as he placed one hand lightly on her back.
You waltz, don't you? He asked.
I am a woman grown, she replied, with more incredulity than was warranted, given the only reason she knew how was that she'd been drafted to practice with Sansa. They'd spent no few afternoons spinning about in the parlor while the younger girl had still harbored futile hopes that she would be allowed to waltz in her first season. Convincing herself it was just to spite him, Brienne rested one hand on his shoulder and allowed him to grasp the other as they moved into proper position. She could feel the eyes on them, hear the whispers. Brienne stared straight ahead, focused wholly on the battle to be met in front of her. Brienne took a deep breath and moved. And stepped directly into Lannister. Their bodies were flushed for a split second. He wasn't as tall as her, though he came closer than most. The half-hand's breath didn't seem so large when his face was this close. Brienne scrambled back, skin heating.
Do you mind terribly if I lead? he asked. Brienne scowled. His chuckle rumbled in his chest. It was as though she could feel it across the distance between them. I've asked about you, you know, he offered a few minutes later, after they'd settled into a reasonably steady rhythm. Brienne met his gaze and averted her eyes. Is there a particular reason you're telling me so? Lannister shrugged, an unfairly graceful motion. She could feel the muscles of his shoulder moving beneath her hand. I thought you might like to offer information yourself. No, thank you. The length of a dance had never seemed so long as it did now. Now she was trapped by Jaime Lannister's laughing eyes and warm hands. Well, that forces me to judge you based on the accounts of others. Unlike you, that's not my preference. Brienne bared her teeth, not caring that his ability to cut with a smile far exceeded her own. I've every confidence you'll survive the ordeal. He continued, as if she had not spoken. It was quite dull, really. He flexed his hand against her back as he guided her in a spin. You're aggressively uninteresting, all things considered. Do you ever stop talking? Brienne growled. I did, however, eventually uncover one hint of life in the morass of tales about a staid, severe giantess. It is said that you fence at Danes. Brienne's spine straightened, her posture stiffening as her eyes narrowed. He would have done better to keep to his petty jibes. This was a path Brienne knew well, and could withstand better than any other. What of it? She asked. The change in her demeanor must have been visible. The grin broke across his face like the sun from behind storm clouds. I'll be damned. It's true. And you think you're good, too, don't you? Language, my lord, she said sharply. If you've been parading around Danes, I'm sure you've heard far worse. It was true, though she was hardly going to admit it. I trained with Arthur Dane himself, you know. Everyone knew. Do you think you could beat me? I've never seen you fight. Even her tone was a triumph. She'd been a popular amusement amongst the gentlemen of London early on. Repeated thrashings took the bloom off that rose. It wasn't quite so funny to be continuously beaten by the big, beastly beauty. It had been some time since most would deign to cross foils with her, unless they were lately to town or wanted to win a bet. The thirst for a true challenge was a constant agitation. Oh, you are confident. That's the straightest I've seen you stand all night. His tone was impudent as ever, but Brienne knew that spark of excitement in his eyes. Just as well that she knew it was reflected back in her own. I'm afraid I already know the answer, but it would be interesting to see you try. And it's been a long time since I've had a fight that was interesting. Yes, it's been quite a few years since you struck a man down, hasn't it? Brienne asked, viciously pouncing on the rare opening. Perhaps next time you can make it even more interesting by eschewing your family's efforts to buy your way out of just punishment. She immediately regretted it. Something changed in his face, became brittle, and as she heard the music winding to a close, she thought he might simply walk away, and stay away. The twinge she felt wasn't only about losing the chance to face him. Brienne was not a cruel person. Putting that look in someone's eyes, even Jaime Lannister's, wasn't something in which she could rejoice. That would be more difficult than you think, he said, at last recovering himself. As the other couples began to drift from the floor, Brienne disengaged herself from his arms. He was studying her intently, and she felt herself blushing anew. He had spent all night mocking her. He'd called at the Stark townhouse just to make her uncomfortable. He'd probably planned yet more humiliation with his invitation to spar. What right did he have to look hurt at her small, insignificant strike back? If your interest holds, Brienne said. Her voice came out weaker than she would have liked. You know where to find me. Then she turned and walked away, without even dropping a curtsy, heading back towards the wall where the dowagers and matrons were congregating, toward Lady Winterfell, and decidedly away from the gnawing pit in her stomach and the itching between her shoulder blades.